All right, we are in Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Are you ready?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, God has got something for us this morning. God, can you say that? God has got something. Amen?
Amen.
All right, glory to God. Bible says, I'm reading about bricks today. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go?" No, that's not the question you want to ask. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Who is the Lord? Oh, he's going to find out who the Lord is. "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert, offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to work." Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous and you are stopping them from working." That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and the foremen in charge of the people. "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they're crying out. Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men, so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Lord, we come before you this morning, and I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place, Lord. I thank you for the work that you do among us this morning, Lord, that you have already set in motion, Lord, as you spoke to each person, Lord, that ministers, Lord, independently, Lord, know that you have something mighty in store for us. A special day. We'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Today is the Super Bowl, and Aaron told us about all the grub that's going to be eaten and all that kind of stuff. It is estimated 180 million people will tune in today. And if you listen to any type of sports thing, I mean, the topics have been the Super Bowl. And for you, Pastor Scott, I'll bring this up. I know it's going to be a joy to your heart. I heard an interview with Adam Vinatieri. Adam Vinatieri is the kicker for Pastor Scott's team, the Patriots. He has shifted on to baseball because his team is not playing today. But I heard an interview. The rest of our teams quit playing a long time ago, so... Anyway, I heard this interview with Vinatieri. This guy was asking him, says, when the game is going on, and he has 5 Super Bowl rings. He knows about winning Super Bowls. He says, and he's a kicker there. He's at number 4. He's kicking that field goal there. And he says, the guy asked him, when you're in the Super Bowl, are you hoping for a blowout so you can just kick back, just watch the game? Or do you want the game to come down to you? And he said, well, there's a couple ways to look at it. It's kind of nice being in a blowout and you're waving to your family in the stands and just kind of having a good old time. He says, but if it's going to come down to the end, I want it to come down to me. Because when you make that kick, there's all kinds of things that go along with making that kick. Now, he knows about making that kick. In Super Bowl 36, final game of the play, Vinatieri kicks a 48-yard field goal to defeat the Rams 20-17. Won the Super Bowl. That's that kick right there. 2 years later, on Super Bowl 38, this is Super Bowl 42 today, so 4 years ago, respectively, he kicked a 41-yarder to beat the Carolina Panthers 32-29 on the final play of the Super Bowl. Why do I bring that up? If you're going to have glory, you don't get it through half measures. We are talking about God preparing a people. And last week we took a look at Moses, and we took a look at the burning bush and the call of Moses and how God spoke to him and did these mighty things, and how, in essence, Moses stood in the glory of God and told him, "No, I don't want it. I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to be part of your plan." And believe me, folks, when you're in the plan of God, you know it. And when you're avoiding it, you know it too. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. He's standing in the glory of God. He is talking to God, is talking to Moses. God does miracles for Moses. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the splendor? Can you imagine the life changing? Can you imagine if that happened to you? Mike, can you imagine if that happened to you? Just, whoa, I mean, how transformed you would be. And Moses finally capitulates to the plan of God when he says, you can use Aaron. For God to prepare a people, God's going to have to prepare Moses. Amen? There's something that has to happen in Moses, a shifting gears, a getting on with the plan of God that needs to happen in Moses' life so that he can lead those people. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. Okay? We good? All right. Moses responding to the call. Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive." Jethro said, "Go, and I wish you well." Moses is heading back to Egypt. Moses is getting on track with God. And you know what? To me, this is kind of a sideways move. I mean, can you see? Let me go see if my people are still alive. I mean, where is the, "You cannot believe what happened to me, Jethro"? Maybe Mr. Jethro, I don't know what he calls his father. Can you, "God spoke to me. I was standing right there in the presence of God. There was a burning bush on Mordor. I mean, I could see it, man, in the middle of the desert. There is something going on here. I mean, I ran to that bush. I wanted to see what that was. And right there, God begins to speak to me." And then he did this leprosy thing. And father-in-law Jethro says, "No way, not leprosy. Dude, I put it in my cloak, pulled it out. It was covered. Look, I got a little scar right there. That's what leprosy was right there. God healed. Put it back in. God healed. Had the staff. You see this staff right here? Threw it down. Turned into a cobra, man. I started running away. I said, stop. Pick that thing up. Are you feeling me on this? Amen. None of that. He says, "Let me go see if my people are still alive." God told them they were still alive. God said they were suffering. God said they were crying out of there. I think Moses is lying to Jethro. Hardly the actions of the man who was going to do the mighty work of God. Are you feeling me on this? Again, Mike, if that happened to you and your dad came and visited you, wouldn't you be going, "Dude, leprosy"? Moses is trying to sidestep God last week, and he's kind of sidestepping, being less than honest with Jethro this week. You are not going to find, you are not going to be able to step into the glory of God with half measures. Can I get a witness on that? We got a whole lot of people just want the kingdom of God just delivered, kind of ushered in, kind of like that Domino's man, 11 million slices of pizza. Here it is, kingdom of God coming right to you. That's not what Jesus is looking for. Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before man, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." And if you have a problem with sharing Jesus with the people that you hang with, you ain't going to be stepping in the glory of God. Right there. You will not receive the glory of God with half measures. And Moses is not going to be able to lead the people of God into the promised land, through the wilderness, out of Egypt with half measures. And there is a transformation that needs to happen. And in some of our lives, there is a transformation that needs to take place. Can I get a witness on that? See, because if God is going to prepare a people, he's going to have to prepare Moses. Let's continue on. Old barriers are removed. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, he said, go back to Egypt, for all those guys who wanted you dead, they're dead. He says, all the men who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt, and he took the staff of God in his hand. Moses has been on the run for 40 years. Killed the Egyptian. Pharaoh found out. Pharaoh put a murder charge on him. Pharaoh was trying to kill Moses, and Moses has been hiding on the backside of Midian in the desert for years. 40 years. How many of you people... Is anybody here 40? Richard, really? I mean, just 40, straight up. You're straight up 40? As long as she's been alive, that's how long Moses was hiding. Yeah, anybody think, she's so young. Yeah, okay. But that's how long Moses was running, as long as Julie Camacho has been alive. Hey, give that priest a nursery a try down there. He could do it. He could do it. Grandma will help. The charges have been dropped. Moses can now get on track. Moses can now shift gears. It is time for a new focus in Moses' life. He is packing up the kids, packing up the donkey. You know, he spent his whole, he's 80 years old. The last 40 years, he's been looking over his shoulder. One of his past going to come and get him. Anybody relate to that? Got some past going, oh, man, I got so much baggage. I'll tell you what, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's going to wash your past away. Amen? And so God says, hey, your past, you don't got to worry about. There is a part in the plan that I have for you that you can move into. If you're ready. If you want to go wholeheartedly. He says you need to focus on the future. Time to focus on my plan. If you're in the plan of God, you'll know it. You'll feel it. You'll need his help. Be going, God, I'm in your plan. Can I get some help here? Can I get a witness on that? Amen. And if you're trying to make it on your own, oh, let me avoid that plan. You'll know that too. Where's your focus? Where's your priority? Have you come to the Lord to make a transition in your life? We have these transitions. My daughter's in a transition. She is now studying colleges. And mom is allowing her to study which college to go to with a lot of angst in my wife's heart. Oh. But I tell you what, man, you're talking about where am I going to move? Where am I going to live? How much is it going to cost? What scholarships am I going to find? All those types of things. And I tell you what, you aren't going to shift gears with half measures. Many of us try to live our lives. You're not going to experience the glory of God with half measures in your life. Moses is not going to experience the glory of God going halfway. There's a shift that needs to happen. For some of us, that shift needs to happen. Amen? All right. God's plan's complicated. All right? Check it out. Old guys are gone. Moses shifting gears, Moses kind of sliding, you know, with Jethro and all this kind of stuff. And the Lord says to Moses, chapter 4, verse 21. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see to it that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I've given you the power to do. It's like, hey, you got to do what I told you to do. I mean, that's clear, right? You got to do what God says to do, or you're never going to step into his glory. Amen? And he says, but I will harden his heart so he will not let the people go. Say what? Can't Pharaoh's heart just be softened? I mean, hey, if we want to let the people go, if we want to get out of there, why not just soften his heart and we'll just slide right out? How about put Pharaoh to sleep for a day and we'll just kind of sneak out in the middle of the night? Amen. How about this? We're going to take Canaan. We got the Perizzites, Hittites, Jebusites, all the ites. Why don't you take all them and let them be slaves and we'll just slide right into Canaan? Man, this makes a lot of sense. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, yeah, man, that'd be easy. Guess what? God's not about easy. How many of you have found that to be true in your Christian life? God is not about easy. See, God is about creating a people. And you don't create a people out of ease. Roki, you train for them running things and going up and down Cow's Mountain, all that kind of stuff. It's hard, amen? You're going to get better, you got to go through strenuous exercise, amen? Josh Gaudet, you're going to get to be a better quarterback, you got to go through strenuous exercise, right? Joe, same thing, right? You're going to be strong, it's going to take effort. That's why God says, oh, no, no, no. I'm not worried about, I can get the people out. I want the people I want when they're out. So to do that, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He says, I want the people to know me when they get out. Chapter 14, verse 4 of Exodus says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. This is after the plagues. But I will gain glory. Say glory, would you? Says, I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army. See, God is looking for a people that understand his glory, who can perceive his glory, who will behold his glory, and you don't perceive God's glory with an easy life. You don't perceive God's glory with the easy way. It is the uphill climb. It is the climb when you are so tired, oh God, I need some help, and he comes as your helper. God wants a people who understand him, who experience his glory. Abraham did it. Oh, yeah, I got to change pages. Sorry, I'm just rolling. Sorry. Give me a second. Genesis 22. God met Abraham. Abraham gave God a name called Jehovah Jireh. How many of you have ever heard of Jehovah Jireh? God, my provider. When you find God, your provider, when you have a need, when you are surrounded by everything you want, you don't need God to be your provider. When you got a need is when God becomes your provider. That's when you come up with a name. Oh, God is my provider. In Exodus chapter 15, after crossing the Red Sea, God declares himself Jehovah Rapha, I am the God who heals. When do you discover that God is a healer? When you're what? Sick. Amen? Sometimes we walk right into sickness. God allows us to become sick. Why? So we can experience the healing touch of God. Amen? Amen. Jehovah Nisi, the name that Moses gives them after they defeat the Amalekites in Exodus chapter 17. God, my protection. When you learn that God is a protector, when you are in danger. And so God says, I am going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Because just taking you out of Egypt would be too easy. I want you to know who I am. Next week we're going to talk about the plagues and all the things that God does that bring him glory as he sets his people free. Amen? 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 Read ahead. Chapter 7 through 12, Exodus. Oh, you can get it. All right. Moses gets on track. There is a shift in Moses' life. And I believe it happens right here. This is a rather obscure three verses of Scripture. Chapter 4, verses 24 through 26 of Exodus. At a lodging place on the way from where? From Midian back to Egypt. Just staying at a hotel, motel, whatever. I don't know, caravan place, tent place, campground. I don't know. At a lodging place. The Lord met Moses. Oh, Lord, I'm on track. And was about to kill him. Say what? Wait a minute. Moses got the call on Mount Horeb in front of the burning bush. Moses got the miracles. Moses got the leprosy. Moses talking to Jethro. Moses on the donkey taking his family. Moses is going to lead the people out. And God is ready to kill him. Say, what? But Zipporah, his wife, took a flint knife. I don't know what a flint knife is. Yeah. And cut off her son's foreskin. That just sounds painful, gentlemen. I don't want a knife made out of rock. Touch Moses' feet with it. Surely, you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let Moses alone. At that time, she said, bridegroom of blood. She referred to circumcision. And I'm telling you, when this happens, there is no more backpedaling from Moses. Moses is full on, full bore, no more half steps, no more side steps. He is on the plan of God. He is moving into the glory of God with all that he has and all that he is. Why? God let him know he's not joking. There was a problem. There was a problem with circumcision. Circumcision given to Abraham as a sign of the covenant of what? I'm going to give you the promised land. Where is Moses going to lead his people? To the promised land. That's a sign of the covenant. You're going to have a mighty nation. What's Jesus? What's God building? A mighty nation of people. But the problem is, Moses' son, Moses does not display the sign of that covenant, the sign of that promise. And amazingly, God notices. Because there are so many people saying, oh, God, God ain't going to do nothing. God's going to let it go. God's going to let it slide. God is a merciful God. Oh, my. I guess not. There was a problem. How is the man who is going to lead God's people into the promise going to lead God's people when he can't even manage his own home? Where's the problem? Problem with his son, with his wife. You're going to do what to my son? Oh, I don't think so. And there is this battle that's waging in there. Now, how does Zipporah come? I mean, how does she come? Oh, become aware that circumcision is the issue. Now, God's going to kill Moses. Maybe he says, I'm going to kill him if you don't circumcise that boy. I guess so. You cannot experience the glory of God with half measures. We're all in. There was a gap in Moses' life, and it had to do with the things of God. And there's only so far you can go with a gap in your life, folks. And so many of us think, oh, God, don't care about that gap. You are retarded in your growth. You are stunted in your growth because of the gaps in your life that you're not addressing. You think that God is just going to let it go. God's not letting it go. It's holding you back in your life. Moses is transformed at this point in his life. Things are transformed. When you know, when you're in the plan of God, you know it. And when you got gaps, he'll point them out. And he wants you to be working on them. Amen? All right, we're going to have communion at this point. Roke, if you would bring your ushers up. And we are going to take a look at the text from 1 Corinthians. Gentlemen, you can just begin to pass those out. If you've not been with us before, just hold the elements. We'll partake of them in a moment. But the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church in Corinth. Thanks, bro. Go ahead, Johnny. As he is writing to the church in Corinth, says, in the same way, after supper, he, Jesus, took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. Therefore, whoever eats the blood or eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, and that is the time. Because there was this gap in Moses' life that the Lord had to address. Are you following me? I know you got to pick up these things and all that kind of stuff. Do you see the parallel? There is this unworthiness. There's gaps in our lives that the Lord would have us deal with. And he says, whoever drinks the cup or eats the bread in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Jesus. That's a serious deal. Amen? A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why. This is a biggie, folks, especially with all the flu and all that kind of stuff running around there. I'm not saying all the flus because of this. But the Bible says, that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. That means a number of you have died. You just put them in the back, Johnny. That's a biggie. Can I get a witness on that? So as we come to the cup and the bread this morning, as we come to the body and the blood of our Lord, we need to examine ourselves. Where's the gap? What does the Lord want you to deal with? Because we want to be able to be wholehearted in pursuing the plan of God. Amen? We want. You're not going to get into the glory of God. You're not going to step into the glory of God in your life. He's not going to shine His glory through you with half measures. So where are you sidestepping God? Lord, we come to you this morning. We examine ourselves. We examine our lives, Lord. And say, change our heart, oh God. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you just speak to hearts right now, Lord. That you would touch us, guide us, direct us, Lord. And as you have orchestrated this whole service from the opening prayer by Pastor Paul on through Aaron's offering and through Lisa's comments, Lord, I know that you have been speaking to hearts already. Lord, there are challenges, Lord, that we need to take upon that we are sidestepping, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, your Holy Spirit come and guide us, direct us, Lord, into your fullness. We examine ourselves, Lord. We avail ourselves to you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let me see, Lord, the gap. The gap you want me to work on. Lord, I receive that. I work on that. In Jesus' name. The night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he said, this is my body given to you. Let us remember the sacrifice of the Lord. We partake of the bread. Hallelujah. On the night he was betrayed, he took a cup and he said, in this cup is my blood, which is shed for you. It is the blood of a new covenant. My blood given for the remission of sins. If you hold this cup, it is the blood of Christ which delivers us from our past. Amen? Let us partake of the cup of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we give you praise. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can sit here this morning, Lord. We can be challenged by your Spirit, Lord, that we can partake of your table, Lord. Would you guide us into your fullness. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pass these cups over, the gentleman will pick them up. And guys, wait until we get done praying. Hey, Johnny, wait until we get done praying before you pick up the cups next time. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is good, amen? Amen. Come on now, give me a witness. God is good. Amen. Amen, praise the Lord. All right. God's plan comes to God's people. You know what? God has a place in His plan for you today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to your hearts and let you know what He has before you. Amen? Amen? Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people. That is the leprosy, and that is the staff of turning into a snake, and also scooping out some water of the Nile and pouring it out, and it would turn into blood. And he said, he also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. He said, these signs I give to you so that the people might believe. I want the people to understand that they can take a risk on me. Amen? He says, and when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and they worshiped. And the plan of God sounded good. They liked it. It's a great plan. We are going to deliver you out of Egypt. We are going to plunder Egypt. Don't forget the plunder part. That means that they are going to take the wealth of Egypt as they go. Does that not sound good? Amen? You're going to go and you're going to take the land of Canaan. You're going to live in houses that you did not build. You are going to own fields that you did not plant. Does that not sound good? Amen? Everybody's saying, oh, that sounds good. And what they did was they worshiped. We worship the Lord in here this morning. Amen? And what we do, say, Lord, you are good, you are right, we honor you, we attribute worth to you, we line ourselves up on you. And as we worship on the Lord in this place, it is my desire, Lisa's desire, the leadership of this church's desire, that you would leave more lined up on God. Amen? It's going to get tough out there. Can I get a witness on that? Now guess what? The devil doesn't want you being lined up on God. He, like Aaron said, oh, yeah, that Super Bowl, man, the devil is in it. Oh, he'll get you off track if he can. There's people that have been straight, have been getting high, gotten drunk for a long time. They're going to get high or drunk today. Why? Because the devil's in it. They're going to get off track. They're going to get messed up. Don't let the devil get you off track. The response is worship. When you line up on the Lord, you'll know you're lined up on the Lord. And you'll worship Him and you will feel His presence. But guess what? Pharaoh's heart is hard. People are all fired up. Got the promise. Got the miracles. Got all that stuff. And they're told that Pharaoh's heart's going to, oh, we're not worried about Pharaoh's heart. We got God on our side. Oh, but they're worried now. Moses, or Pharaoh says, let them make bricks without straw. Keep the number of bricks the same. Be hard on them. Be hard on them so they don't listen to all this lies. Let them be tired. Let them be complaining against those people. Yeah, let's just work them. And things change with the people of God. Exodus 6:6-9. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. This is a response to the slave drivers being harsh on them. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will bring you out to the land I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give you as a possession. He says, I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, to God's people, God's nation that were being developed and prepared. But they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. They said, this plan of God is too hard for us. And that is the problem with the people of God. They would say, it would have been better if we just stayed in Egypt. Man, we were eating good back there, doing all this kind of, it was good times when we were in Egypt. People find a challenge and the people don't want a challenge. He says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And we want the I will be your God part. But we don't really like that whole I will be your people part. See, there's a lot of people who think that God is just about blessings. Here I am, Lord. I will be a display. I just hang your blessings on me, man. I will shout out your praises. You know what I'm talking about? Send your blessings my way. See, all kinds of people want the blessings, but not so many people want the glory. Because to step into the glory of God, you step through the challenges. It is in the midst of the challenge when you cry out to God and say, and some of you, I look around this place and I see many of you who are in the midst of challenge, grabbing out to God, experiencing God's power and experiencing God's glory. And I am encouraged. Quote from, Kennedy, quoting, he actually quoted FDR. In 1910, the credit belongs to the man who is in the arena, woman too, And he's talking about, it's not the critic who matters. The credit belongs to the man who is in the arena whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. Because when your face is marred by blood and sweat and dust, you will be crying out to God saying, oh God, this is harder than I can bear. And he says, call on me. You will find me when you call out to me with your whole heart. Amen? The credit belongs to the man who is in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at best, if he wins, know the thrills of high achievement. And if he fails, at least fails daring greatly. So that his place will never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. You will not experience the glory of God with half measures. If you are in the plan of God, you will know it. And if you are dodging it, you will know it. And there are many of you who are responding to the challenge and experiencing God's glory in your life. That is the picture of Adam Vinatieri after he made the field goal to defeat the Rams. That's glory. That is a picture on Super Bowl Sunday that some of you guys would be able to relate to. Moses was not ready to lead God's people. There were gaps in his life. And I don't know where you're at today, but God does. And I believe that God has been speaking to many of you, saying, I got a place for you in my plan. And I have called you just like I've called Moses, and many of you have said no. Many of you have said yes and are striving ahead and saying, oh God, this is so scary. Oh yeah, it's scary. Living without a net. God is your net. And as you live trusting and relying upon the Lord, you will find who God is, and you will find his glory. Amen? Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Moses. I thank you, Lord, that you use this guy that runs away from Pharaoh. And Lord, he murders an Egyptian, Lord, and he marries the daughter of a priest of Baal. Lord, this guy is so messed up. You speak to him from a burning bush, and he tells you no, and you're still not done with him. And Lord, I messed up in my life, and I thank you, Lord, that you weren't done with me and that you're not done with me. And Lord, I thank you that so many in this room have messed up big time. And you're not done with them, Lord. But Lord, we got some gaps in our lives, Lord. And there's some things that we need to address, Lord. And that you would come from heaven, Lord, and point out in our souls, Lord, that in our lives, the choices that we make, the choices that we've made, that we need to address some things that we might be useful in your plan. It might step into your plan. Shine your light. Shine your light. Shine your light. Shine your light. Shine your light.